Amen. Thank you, praise band. Join me for prayer. Father, we thank you again for today, and we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for this preaching moment. Lord, I pray that your word is the words that we hear. Your voice is the voice that we hear. Father, I pray that as we gather under your word, that we'll hear the message that you have for us, and we'll be able to apply your plain truth to our lives. Father, I thank you for the First Baptist Church of Palm Coast. I thank you for the people that you've gathered here, for the amazing talent and amazing gifts that you've given to this congregation for the specific and sole purpose to be used, not to be sat on, not to be hoarded, but to be used, to be deployed, to be employed, to minister the gospel to this generation and this place. Father, I thank you for the way that you blessed us, even today, getting us up and getting us on our way. I thank you. And with a thankful heart, we all say thank you for those gifts and blessings that we're experiencing in the present moment, present day. It reminds us again to be thankful for those things that you've brought us through, for the past and for all the ways that you've proved faithful. But Father, while we are thankful for the present and we're thankful for the past blessings, we're also looking forward with great anticipation for the future blessings, for the future that you have prepared for us as a church. You prepared for each of us individually, ministering the gospel, the ways that we're looking into the future, into 2020. Today, Lord, speak to our hearts in this way. We love you, Father. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Now, each of you, as you came in today, hopefully you got one of these. This is the vision brochure for 2020. This is yours to keep and yours to continue to thumb through, to pray over, to be engaged with. As we think about what God is going to do, it has become our tradition near this time of the year to gather together and to talk about next year, to talk about what God's vision is for next year, and that's what we're doing today. Today will look a little different than a normal service. We'll spend some time considering some scripture, a narrative in scripture, and kind of applying that to the situation that we're walking into, not really knowing what 2020 has planned, but knowing that God is already there and preparing something for us and for allow us to minister in His name. And so we know that He has created the plans before us, and we're confident of that fact, and we're going to talk about some of those things today. As we look at the vision brochure, as we look at the way that God is preparing us to move forward, we'll also take a look in a general fashion, an abbreviated fashion, at our 2020 budget. And so Brother Ike Harris will come up, our church treasurer, will come up and just for a few minutes talk about what next year's budget looks like, because God has given us some plans, and well, we know that as He's given us some marching orders, we're going to walk this way and accomplish those things that He's created for us. And so I'm excited about what God is doing in 2020 and beyond. And so we look at Vision Sunday 2020. You know what that represents? Somebody came up to me in the common grounds in between services and said this. Not only does it great plans and God has for us, but Vision 2020, think about that. It's the year of perfect vision. I went, that is so cool. I didn't even think about that. And so as we're talking about 2020 and we're following God, we're only going to have perfect vision as we follow Him, as we set our eyes on Him, as we're obedient to follow closely what He has in store for us. And so as we look for 2020 and the plans that He's laid for us, let us look for perfect vision and follow Him in that way. And that's something that I don't relate to. I haven't related to perfect vision since I was about, I think, 12 or 13 years old. Some of you can relate with that. And so we're looking today at Joshua chapter 3. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. This text is an important text in Scripture. It marks a transition period that's happening between the leadership of Moses and the leadership of Joshua. If you'll remember, Moses, God called Moses by the burning bush and said, go and tell my people, you're going to lead my people out of Egypt, out of slavery. And so Moses did that and was faithful to the Lord for that and led the nation of Israel for 40 years. Now, Moses was going to be able to take the people to the promised land, but some things happened in the process, didn't they? They didn't believe, they didn't trust God, and so there was a generation of people that died and that had to go away for the Israelites and this new generation to go into the promised land, a generation that would believe God and believe the promises that He had for them. I think there's a message in that for us today, to believe what God has prepared before us. And so we're looking today at this important passage in Joshua chapter 3, But it doesn't start in Joshua chapter 3. It actually starts in chapter 2. Chapter 1 of Joshua, if you kind of go back and kind of lay the foundation, as he's taking over the leadership of the nation of Israel, God had to encourage him because he's following a great leader. He's following a great leader, and there was some, you could tell he was kind of nervous about that, because many times in chapter 1, three times, he says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. I'm with you." And so God continues to encourage Joshua as he's leading the people into the promised land. Chapter 2 begins the narrative of the two spies who were sent over into the promised land, into Jericho, and they happened upon a prostitute named Rahab, and that whole episode with Rahab and hiding the spies so that the enemy wouldn't get to them. They had already heard that they were coming. I mean, it's a great story. You can read that for yourself. But the story that we're talking about today really picks up at the tail end of that story of the spies. Now, notice, this is a duplication. This is a repeat of a story that happened 40 years ago. And when Moses sent out 12 spies into the promised land, they came back, and 10 of them didn't believe what God had promised them. Two of them did, Joshua being one of them. And so Joshua sent forward two spies this time, two spies, not 12, two, into the promised land, and they came back with some amazing, amazing news. We'll pick it up reading the end of chapter 2. We'll pick it up reading in verse 22. Talking about the spies. "And they departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned." They were being chased. They were being chased out of Jericho, out of the promised land. They knew that God's people were coming. They knew the Israelite nation was just across the Jordan, that they were coming. And so they didn't want any of it. They were trying to prepare themselves for the upcoming battle, and they wanted to get rid of the spies. So they were being chased. "Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they related to him all that had happened to them." Verse 24. "And they said to Joshua, 'Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and all the inhabitants of the land, moreover, have melted away before us.'" God has already started to prepare a way for the Israelites to go into the promised land. He's already started to work things out in their favor in the future. So don't miss that as we talk about what's happening in chapter 3. God is already at work in their future across the Jordan. They haven't crossed the Jordan yet. The spies came back and they went back across the Jordan to tell Joshua and the nation what had happened. Now the nation is coming to the riverbanks of Jordan before they cross. We find ourselves in an amazing piece of history, of Israelite history today. In chapter 3, we begin to read. "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed." And so here Joshua gets the good news. He gets this report. Everybody's excited. The next day, he couldn't even sleep. He was so excited about the things that were going to happen. He got up early in the morning. And as he got up early in the morning, he got everybody else up. "Let's go. We got to get started on this. God is at work among us." If you're not excited about the things that God is doing, check why. Ask yourself why. Do you believe that God is at work around you? Do you believe that God is doing things around you? Maybe you haven't experienced directly God working in and around your life, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason that you may not be excited today, and we're going to get into that in verse 5. But think today, are you excited for the things that God is doing? The things that God is doing in your family? The things that God is doing in your church? Are you excited for the things that God is doing in this community? There should be a stirring. There should be an emotional response to the activity of God. If there's not, why? Why? You know, Baptists don't have to be sour-faced. Do you know that? Nowhere is it written in our Constitution and bylaws that we have to be sour-faced, that we have to look like we're miserable. We look like we're stoic and we're not doing... No. We're supposed to be the happiest people on the planet because we know that God is up to something and we get to play a part in those plans. It's absolutely amazing. Joshua got up early in the morning because he was pumped up. He was excited about the things that God was going to do. Do you get up excited in the morning about the things that God can do today? Well, maybe it's just me. Yeah. All right, so They got up early in the morning. They were excited about the things that we were going to do. So they went from where they were camped in Shittim all the way to the riverbank of the Jordan. By the way, if you go back one slide for me, Jerry. This is actually the Jordan River at sunset. And so the Jordan River is a unique body of water in Israel. It forms at the base of the mountains in the northern Israel and kind of snakes its way down the east border of Jerusalem, of Israel. And as it snakes its way down, some places are very far wide. Some places you can barely see across because it's so wide. But there's other places where it's not more than a stone's throw across. And so the Jordan is a unique and interesting body of water. Some of you have seen it firsthand. It really is a unique place. And there's so much that happens in Scripture in and around the Jordan Valley and the Jordan River. And so the Jordan is a special place. Here they are. They've come. They've got the good news. They come to the Jordan. But at this time of year, there's a couple of times a year that the Jordan's banks are overflowing. It's flooded in and around the region because of the snow melt in the winter that comes out and it the rushing water all the way down to the Dead Sea. And so this is the time of year that they're sitting there and the Jordan is overflowing. It's a wide expanse. So they come up and they can't cross because there's a river in front of them. There's an obstacle that they can't cross themselves. And so here they are in the midst of their obstacle. They're looking right at it and they camp out. And this is what we see in verse 2. And it came about at the end of 3 days that the officers, the leaders, went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from the place and go after it. So, here they were sitting on the bank of a river that they could do nothing about. They weren't building a bridge. They weren't building boats to go across. But something was going to happen here that they were going to see God moving and they were going to follow after him. That they were going to follow. They had no idea what was about to happen. But you know who did? God. God knew exactly what was about to happen. There was a miracle about to take place before them. And when they saw God on the move, they were to go after him. Verse 4. However, there shall be between you and it, the Ark of the Covenant, a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. It's about 3,000 feet or so. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. Okay, so one thing I can tell you about the future that we do know is that we don't know, right? There's some things about the future, that things are to come, the days to come, that we just don't have any certainty about. There's plans that we can make. There's things that we can do to try to set ourselves up for success in the future. But there are things that are going to happen in the days ahead that we have absolutely no idea what they're going to entail. But we do know who does know. God. He's already there. So when he starts to move, we keep our eyes on him. So that when we go, we're not going to anywhere we know. We haven't been this way before. But we keep our eyes on the Lord as we go. Here's a success formula here. Verse 5, one of the most amazing, amazing verses. Says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Set yourselves apart for the purposes of the Lord. Why? For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. The Lord will do wonders among you. In 2014, November 2014, myself and my wife, Ann, and the person who was leading the academy at the time, the principal and the preschool director, we knew that we were out of room to grow. We started using every room in the church for the academy purposes, and we knew that if God was going to continue as he kind of inspired us to do, we need to find more room in which the academy would meet. And so we were going around the community and we were trying to see what is the answer to this, Lord? You've given us a problem. We know the obstacle is right before us, but we don't know the way to go. And so, Lord, help us to understand what to do next. So we're waiting on you. We're praying. We're in this pivotal moment. We know that without you acting in the way that you're going to act, nothing is going to happen. We're stuck. We're not moving anywhere. We're at the bank and there's an obstacle before us. We can't get across ourselves. And so we were riding around town praying about what to do next. And do you know, on November the 14th, 2014, we stopped at the historical Flagler County Courthouse, and on the west steps, we just stopped. Now, we weren't even praying about that building. We were not praying about that property at all. That was an old condemned building, right? It had been empty for 8 years. We had we were looking for 7 or 8 classrooms to continue to grow our upper grades. We weren't looking for a 50,000 square foot facility that would become the home of the First Baptist Christian Academy. We had no idea, but we stopped on the west steps of that old historic courthouse and we just prayed, God, it's not about us, it's about you. If you want this to happen, if you want something to happen, then lead us away. Before we got to the back parking lot where the car was parked, the phone rang. And our principal's husband said, there's a meeting about that building tonight at the courthouse. The future of that building, what are they going to do with it? And so that night he and I went, and it began the conversation that the next August we would move the entire academy. Some of you were there for that. I remember Brother Herb on August the 15th, 2015, rolling his sleeves up with 100 other of us trying to get 7 truckloads of furniture into that academy so we could start school 9 days later. Absolutely amazing that God, we had no idea what was going to happen and what's going to happen. We were just by faith walking out and praying, God, you take the lead and we'll follow. And so here we were not thinking about anything that we could solve. We knew we didn't have the answers. We knew the future was so big, so large, that there was nothing that we could do about it. It wasn't in our power and might, it was in His power and might. And do you know, over the next 8 months, from November through March, when we signed the lease with the county said, you'll never get in here by August. I said, really? Because they knew the timeline, and we had to say, no, 5 months to redo all this? No, you're talking, this is going to take us a year, year and a half. Government workers, right? I mean, I said, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to be open in August of 2015 for classes. It's going to take 5 months for us to renovate this 50,000 square foot complex. And you know what? It's not about us. God's going to make this happen. And every day we woke up and it was like, God, what are you going to do today to flex your muscles? What are you going to do today to show us the days ahead? What are you going to do today to work out your glory and your fame and what's going to happen here? And in 5 months, we opened. We opened with a school that really shouldn't have been there. But it wasn't anything that we could have done to make that happen. God had to work it out and work the things out to make change hearts and change lives and have people come alongside of His vision of what was to happen. Now here we are, 5 years later, in November of 2019. It's not November 2014 anymore, it's November 2019. But the prayer is the same. God, what are you up to? God, we know that the way that we've operated, the way that we've come to this point in time, we're not going to be able to move forward unless you do something. Unless you act in such a way and move mountains on behalf of your vision, not our vision. And so, Lord, we're excited about what the potential of tomorrow brings, but we don't know what the potential of tomorrow brings. What are we supposed to do today to prepare ourselves for what's to come? And so there's 3 things in this passage very quickly. 3 things that I believe that we as a church body, we each of us individual believers, can take from this passage to help us to understand what to do in today, where we're looking at this obstacle. We don't know how we're going to cross, but God does, because He's already on the other side. First thing we see here is, when you see the Lord moving, go after Him. Go after Him. Do you see the Lord moving? Do you see the Lord moving around you? Do you see the Lord, the things of the Lord? Do you see Him working out in people's lives and in different ways and circumstances? I'm going to tell you, I wish you were here on Wednesday nights during our prayer meetings. Because Wednesday night at our prayer meetings, we take an inordinate amount of time and celebrate the things that God is doing and things that God has done that week. There's not a week that goes by that Brother Tom Cavey comes up and talks about somebody that God allowed him to speak to and that he shared the gospel with and they came to know the Lord. But in the last month, something even more amazing is happening. that we celebrated. There's been, at the Academy and in the Academy families, there's been over 50 decisions for the Lord, first time and assurance decisions that people have made, that students have made to follow the Lord. Absolutely amazing things. We're sharing a story that there's students at the Academy that are going home, that are sharing the gospel, that are singing songs, that are sharing verses of scripture, and parents are coming to know the Lord because of the students taking the gospel home with them. Sometimes when we're so looking at ourselves, when our focus is on ourselves, and we're not looking at what God is doing, we miss out on the things that He's doing. I don't want you to miss out on anything. I don't want to miss anything. I want to always be looking and watching where God is working. I want to jump in. That's an old Henry Blackaby principle, that God is at work all around us, and it's our responsibility to jump in where He's working. Let's get to work. Let's get to work where He's already at. He's here in the ministries of the First Baptist Church of Palm Coast, not on the Academy. Right now, we're sitting on over almost 2,000 boxes, Operation Christmas Child boxes, that our faithful volunteers have had dropped off all throughout this region. Do you know that's over 2,000 children that are going to hear and see and experience the gospel? You have a part to play in that. You have a part to play in that because this is happening in our church and we get the part to play in these things. We need to get excited about what the Lord will do and believe that He will do these things. When He's moving, we need to jump into the things that He's doing. It's not about coming to church on Sunday morning, sitting and soaking. It's about understanding, watching and jumping into where He's moving. God does not steer a parked car. Some of us have been parked for a little too long. Let's put it in drive and take our foot off the brake and let's get going to see what God is doing. When He's moving, we go after Him. Number two, that we've not passed this way before. We can't know what's going on in the future. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We can make our plans. But you know, when I made plans in 2014 about the Academy, when I make my own plans for, you know what God does? Typically, I feel Him laughing at my plans because they're too small. They're too small. And so in many ways, God has helped me grow to a point where I'm not limiting Him. Sometimes I'll make plans and things for us to do as a church and for a church family, and we'll get together in leadership and these things. But we don't like to stretch ourselves outside of what is possible in our own power. That's not what God wants to do. God doesn't work within our power. God works in His own power, so He gets the glory. You read on in this story, it wasn't until they took the Ark of the Covenant and they stepped into the waters that the waters parted. The waters parted. They couldn't do that. God had to do that. And when God did that, guess who gets the glory? God. God. Not Joshua, not the Levitical priest who had the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. God and God alone gets the glory. He's in the future. He knows the things that He's already prepared for us. As we keep our eyes on Him, keep our eyes on the Lord, we're sure to accomplish the things that He has prepared for us. And number three, out of this passage, when you see the Lord moving, go after Him when you have not passed this way before. So, keep our eyes on the Lord. We consecrate ourselves. Consecration is a very important word biblically that we don't understand in 2020 or 2019. Consecration means to set ourselves apart for the work of the Lord. It's possible and expected of us as followers of Jesus Christ to set ourselves apart for His service, to be used by Him, to do life together with Him, not apart from Him, not in our own way, but to follow Him. And so as we consecrate ourselves, we prepare ourselves for what God is about to do. We can't have our eyes on ourselves. Our eyes have to be on the Lord. We can't have our eyes on our agenda. We can't have our eyes on our limitations. We can't have our eyes on us at all. It's got to be on the Lord and the Lord only. And as we do, God says there's some amazing, wondrous things that He's about to do among you. Verse 5, absolutely amazing. Consecrate yourselves. For the Lord, for tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing, wondrous, unbelievable things among you. That word among you doesn't mean just around you. It means in you, through you, and around you. Are you ready for a time when God is going to do wondrous things among you? That we're going to walk together as a church body into this new season of ministry and what God is going to do all around us as we're prepared to see Him, prepared to follow Him? This is what God wants us and from us in 2020. We can't just come and do things that we've always done. We've got to change a little bit. We've got to prepare ourselves for what God is about to do. And so there's, if you look at the cover of your vision brochure, you'll see that this 2020 is the year of the leader. The year of the leader simply means leading yourself and leading others. You know what that's called? It's not rocket science. You know what it's called? It's called discipleship. Discipleship. You lead yourself well. You live right before God. You do the things that are going to draw you to Him, not separate you from Him. And so you do what's necessary to lead yourself to Him and then lead others. Lead others along with you. And so there's three S's. Keep it simple. Let's keep it simple. Three S's that we're going to really dive into to prepare ourselves, to consecrate ourselves, to lead ourselves well, and to lead others. Now, the first one is a worship service. You'll notice these congregational goals, 1 through 10. The first three have to do with the worship service. Now, I know you're saying that's a W, not an S. Well, just bear with me, okay? So, the worship service. So our services are going to take on a little bit of a different feel. We've already started to do this, to kind of designate and distinguish the type of worship services that we have. But we're also adding a midweek worship service. We're adding a Wednesday night worship service. And so this is for those that we're not able to minister to on the weekends. A large portion of our current community work on the weekends. They're working right now. And if they work on Saturday, typically they don't come to church on Sunday. So what we're doing is offering a midweek worship service that people can connect with the church, connect to the vision that God has given us in a way during midweek. And so we're going to have a midweek worship service starting the second week of January so that we allow people to come and to experience worship together. Now, what we want to do is to kind of think about worship services in a different way. We don't just want to come in, sit and soak and leave. What we want to do is participate and to engage. So each one of us playing a part in that. And so we're going to come prepared for worship. We're going to come and we're going to sing and engage the Lord through song. We're going to lean into prayer and those prayer activities that will begin to make a more distinct part of our worship services. We're going to lean into Scripture by taking notes, by helping to understand and to interact and engage the Word of God. Some of you have already forgotten even what Scripture that we're reading. You don't have that kind of recall. We need to take this seriously and start taking notes and start taking this to the next level. Start taking our followership, our faith to the next level, preparing ourselves for what is to come. Now, as we think about that, there's also some interaction and engagement. We're going to figure out ways and come up with some ways to interact and engage upon the Scripture that God has given us. And so during the week, to interact and to engage back and forth between small group, between family members. Go to lunch today and talk about the different things that God is doing and what He spoke to you about this passage. Talk about it between each other. Not just leaving, oh, I didn't like what he preached on today. No. God has a word for each of us every week. He's got something for us to do and apply to our lives. We need to talk about this and engage it and make it part of who we are. Not just surface level, but down deep into our heart. Our worship service, engaging in them together. Now, sometimes we're going to set a goal. We're going to be in service. We're going to be with each other every week in a worship service. And so every week we're going to commit together at once a way, shape, or form to do that. Even if you're traveling, we're going to make it a way that you can join us for our worship service through streaming technology on the internet. And so you'll be able, whenever, and if there's a time difference, you can go back and watch it later. But we want to engage each other and make it possible for us to be with each other under the Word every week. Not only worship services, but small groups. Simply be in one. Be in one. Now, some of you are like, you know, I don't need all that. I'll just come on Sunday and that's fine. We're missing a connection point here. They were all encamped together at the Jordan River. They had just heard and the things that the spies came back and said. They were together. Don't you know that there was chatter going on? There was some dreaming happening. There was some, how are we going to get across? I don't know. God's going to, maybe he'll part the, like he did the Red Sea. Maybe he'll, there was all of this excitement going, we can't do that alone. We need connection with one another. And so we're setting a small group being one. We got them on Sunday morning, Sunday night, every night of the week. We all over the place in a small group environment, studying the Word of God, coming together in fellowship, growing together in relationship. This is what God is expecting of us as we prepare our hearts and ourselves for what He's to do next. Not only worship service, small group, but serving. Very simply that we're serving together. Serving in some way in shaping capacity in the church one time a month. At least one time a month. Some of you say, oh, got that one down. I serve 32 times every week. Thank you very much. Now, we want each one to serve one. So at least one time a month to be involved and engaged in service here at church. And then in some way, shape, or form, serve your neighbor. Serve the community. Serve in some way, shape, and capacity so that the gospel can go forth. And so as we're preparing ourselves in these ways, through our worship services, small groups, and through serving one another, we're understanding that God is doing something in us. And as He's doing something in us, He's going to do something through us. Man, I'm excited about that. I get up early every morning anyway. But I get up, especially after that experience in 2014, and walking through that season of unbelievable change and challenge that the Academy provided. I just cannot wait. I cannot wait to see what God is about to do. Hold on, folks. Hold on. Get excited about what God's about to do in our midst. Get prepared because you're not going to know what hit you.